I'm reading from James chapter 2, verse 23. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. What a legacy. What a legacy to be called God's friend. Now, the word friend in the Greek is philos, and from that word we get another word, philios, which is the most general kind of love that there is in the Bible. It's the kind of love that shows that you really care about someone, that you have compassion on someone. That's a great way to describe a good friend, isn't it? Someone who really cares about you. Someone who has compassion on you. At least it should be a great way to describe a good friend. Today we're beginning a series which I'm simply calling Great Words. And I don't know how long this series is going to go because there are so many great words. And this could go on for a long time. Maybe we'll drift away from it and come back to it. As I sat down and I brainstormed just a few of the great words that came to my mind, it was very edifying. It was very uplifting. It was a kind of a fun exercise that I found that I needed. And one of the first words that came to my mind is the word friend. So I chose that as the first word for this series today. What a great word that is, friend. What does the Bible teach us about friendship? How important is friendship to God? How important is it to you to have a good friend? How important is it to you to be a good friend? One of the passages that came to my mind, which it probably is going through some of your minds right now, is John 15, beginning in verse 12. You know this passage very well, but listen to the ways and the number of times that the word friend appears. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "My command is this, love each other." Well, there's a sermon right there, isn't it? We could stop and go home. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, that passage is primarily speaking to us about how we're supposed to love each other, but it also is a good passage about what it means to be a good friend. Now, all of us long to have good friends. It's really important to us for our emotional stability to have friends. But, you know, there's probably no other time in the circle of life when friends are more important to us than when we are young, when we are teenagers. And teenagers, as they develop and they explore the world around them, friends become more important than food to them. And those friends, as you know, have a direct impact on them, on their lives. Good impact, bad influence. It's no wonder that good parents spend a lot of time and energy monitoring who their kids' friends are and what kind of influence they're having on their children. This is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I could just hear a good parent talking to their teenager that way. Friends can be wise and they can help us gain wisdom, and friends can be foolish and they can take us down the wrong road. And as teenagers bind together in a circle of friends, it is amazing how much influence those friends have on one another. Small decisions, big life-changing decisions are often made depending on how their group of friends approve or disapprove. Teens crave approval. And if you're not careful, that tendency will follow you throughout your life, no matter how old you are. Some people never grow out of it. They fall into a pattern of making life decisions based on what their friends think they should do or be, because you want their approval. If that is how you live your life, then I certainly hope that your friends are grounded in the Word of God, because that is the touch point of what we should do and what we should be, and you know that. Let's flip that around. What about your influence on your friends? Now, what if your friends are not very familiar with God's Word? Maybe they're very shallow in their thinking theologically. I'll call it God's rule book, the do's and the don'ts. Then I hope that you are able to help them go deeper into the Word of God. It works both ways. This is Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this is Proverbs 27, 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Implications? It's simple. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Now, there is a wonderful story in the Bible that I'm sure you know very well that has multiple implications for what we're talking about. It's that story where Jesus was in a house and they lowered a man through the roof of the house for healing. And I want to review that story and I want to talk about it. I'm reading from Mark chapter 2, and it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word of God to them. Now, on my pilgrimages to the Holy Land, every single one of them, I had the privilege of taking people into Capernaum to that very house. The foundations, the ruins of that house are still there. It was Peter's mother-in-law's house where Jesus was often an overnight guest. It's located on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. I'm seeing it in my memory right now, as I bet some of you are as well. I'm continuing with the story. Some men came bringing to Jesus a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through the roof, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Now, when we read that story, we often focus on that poor man, that paralyzed man, and we focus on the healing miracle that took place at that home. But I want to focus on those four men. I want to focus on those guys who brought him there. They were obviously good friends of his. First, they carried him there. They did whatever it took. Whatever it took to get him there. And what did it take? It took physical strength. They had to get their hands dirty. It took time. Do you think they needed to spend their time doing other things? Like fishing or helping at the house or taking care of... It took their time. And it was a well-coordinated effort. It took some planning. It took some thought. And that is what a good friend is willing to do. Whatever it takes. When you need someone to carry you, it becomes obvious who your real friends are. And when they need someone to carry them, it tests the level of your friendship with them. I love this quote. It's from Walter Winchell. He said, "A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out." That's another way of saying a real friend is someone who will do whatever it takes. Now, as you know, those four men arrived at the house in Capernaum, and they discovered that the crowd was so thick that they couldn't even get through it. They couldn't bring their friend even to the door, and they hit a huge roadblock. So what did they do? They gave up. Nope. They didn't. They didn't turn back. They did something astonishing. They found a way to climb up on the roof of that house. Can you imagine how challenging that was? Four guys carrying a mat with a paralyzed man on it, finding a way to climb up on the top of that roof. That's what good friends do. They help find a way around the roadblocks that hit you in life. They do not give up. They give more. Okay. They got to the rooftop. Then what? Well, they dug a hole in the roof. They were really determined. My guess is they probably stayed around and helped patch that hole when everything was over, but we really don't know. The point is that they followed through. They followed through with their commitment to get their friend into that house. That is what a good friend does. He or she follows through. They will not abandon you. As someone put it, true friends are not the ones who make your problems disappear. They are the ones who themselves will not disappear when you are facing problems. Now, those four men have done quite a bit so far in this story, but the culmination of their efforts is the most important thing of all. They lowered their friend through that roof to the feet of Jesus. A good Christian friend will help you draw closer to God. Do you remember what Job's wife said to him when he was covered with painful sores? She said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" That is not what a good friend, a good Christian man or woman would say. No. They will seek to draw you closer to your Heavenly Father And if you are a good friend, you'll do the same thing for them. Speaking of Job's wife, reminds me of this. You have undoubtedly heard many times a husband or a wife say about their spouse, "They are my best friend. They are my best friend." What a wonderful gift that is when it's true. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Praise God for that gift. But let me ask you couples here who are here today, and there are several. Let me ask you couples, can you say that about your marriage today? I'm not asking you if you can say that about your marriage in the past. I'm asking if you can say that right now, today. Are you best friends with your spouse? If so, bless God and live. If not, I want to encourage you to go home today and start working on that. Samuel Coleridge wrote a poem. The poem is called Youth and Age. And there is a short phrase in it that I think is very powerful, and it relates to this subject. The phrase is this: friendship is a sheltering tree. That's a beautiful word image for me. A sheltering tree. A good friend is deeply rooted and stands firm right there beside you, no matter what. And they are like branches that cover you and protect you and provide shade for you when you need it the most. And like those branches, they bring you comfort. They bring you strength. And they bring you encouragement. That's also a great description of a strong Christian marriage. You stand firmly beside each other, no matter what, side by side. And you bring comfort and strength and encouragement. I read a very moving story about two inseparable friends, two guys, who fought together in World War I. They enlisted together. They trained together. They shipped out together. They fought side by side in the war. And one day, during a very heavy attack, one of them was critically wounded out in the field. He was surrounded by barbed wire, and there were bullets whizzing all around him. And it would be suicidal to go out there and try to rescue him. But of course, his buddy could hardly stand it. His best friend decided that he simply had to try to get out there. And just before he could get out of the trench, his sergeant pulled him back into that foxhole, and he ordered him to stay still and not to go. He said, "It's too late. You can't help him now. You can't do any good, and you'll only get yourself killed." A few minutes later, the sergeant turned his back, and of course, that buddy jumped out of that foxhole. He bolted out of there to get to his friends, and he reached him. But sadly, shortly after he got there, his buddy was gone. But he dragged his lifeless body back to that trench. And in the process, he also took a bullet. And when he got back into the trench, exhausted and bleeding, his sergeant blurting out, "He's dead, and you are dying. What a waste. It wasn't worth it." And even though he could hardly speak, the soldier said, "Oh, yes, it was, Sarge." When I got to him, the only thing he said was, "I knew you'd come, Jim. I knew you'd come." Ephesians 4, verse 10. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. All of that, everything I've said, brings me to this wonderful truth. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he becomes your best friend. He really cares about you. He has real compassion for you. He will do whatever it takes to get you through the roadblocks of your life. He will never give up. He will never abandon you. He will follow through all the time with his commitment to love you into eternity. And when you need Jesus Christ the most, he will be like a sheltering tree, and he'll bring you comfort, and he'll bring you strength, and he'll bring you encouragement. But most importantly, every step of your way, he will seek to draw you closer to God. He will not stop until he gently places you at the feet of your Heavenly Father. And in the darkest and the most challenging moments of your life, you can look at him and you can say, "I knew you would come, Lord. I knew you would come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is overwhelming to know that we have a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus. It is so wonderful that we call him our brother, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our friend. May we, Lord, be your friend as well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.